again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mary, Mother of Jesus, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we've said more than once, the priest in the Catholic Church in the Western world is in the gravest crisis in the Church's history. Most of our Catholic seminaries in America are closed. You've lost 90% of our Catholic seminarians. Vocations to the priesthood are at an all-time minimum. While in the Hamilton Canadian Diocese yesterday, I was told there are Catholic churches, three, up to five churches with one priest. And they're not getting any younger. And remember, the Catholic Church is a Catholic Church only where there is still Jesus Christ present in the Holy Eucharist. Without the priesthood, there is no Eucharist. Without the Eucharist, there is no Catholic Church. I thought, this being the month of May, I would share with you what I've been sharing with priests, well, for 50 years, to cultivate a strong devotion to Our Lady. First, by way of introduction, this is not my printing. Someone transcribed from my illegible writing this bit of text. An interruption. Please announce the fact that there was a class scheduled for next Sunday, May the 24th. Am I correct? Is that our last class? I think so. So our last class will be next Sunday, same place, same time, May the 24th. And by the way, bring your friends. Back to our subject. We'll ask ourselves three questions. What is devotion to the Blessed Virgin? Why is devotion to Our Lady essential to Christianity? And then, the main focus, how should priests notice, how should priests practice devotion to Our Lady? And the priest that I told you in the previous class came up to the front where I was lecturing, like now. I'm going to pray to Our Lady that I acquire and he meant faith in the real presence. And then I was so pleased. He reached his pocket and he pulled out a rosary. I'll be more frank than I usually am in his class. First two questions. What is devotion to the Blessed Virgin? And why is this devotion essential? Three basic levels to devotion. And there's devotion to Christ, devotion to the angels, devotion to the saints, and here, devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. There is veneration, there is invocation, and there is imitation. We venerate with our mind and our will. Thus, we honor the Blessed Virgin Mary for who she is, but you must believe that she is the Mother of God. Otherwise, the poor Protestants, as I've told them so many times in their own seminaries, you poor Protestants, you don't know what you're missing. Devotion to the Blessed Virgin. And you know why? Because Martin Luther did not believe that Mary is the Mother of God. Do you hear me? Six large manuscripts of Luther's writings will never be published. Well, Luther says there, when I think destroy the faith of every Protestant. Luther did not believe in Christ's divinity. And of course, how could he then believe in Mary's divine maternity if her son is not the Son of God? So, honoring her, showing our respect for her, giving her praise, coming to know her and make her known. Extolling, reverencing Our Lady, loving her, and having Our Lady loved by others. Over the years, I published 3 books just on the Protestants. My first book was on the Protestant Churches of America, widely used in Protestant seminaries. It takes a Catholic to understand the Protestants. Big, thick Lutheran hymnal. Over 400 hymns sung by the Lutherans for this book throughout the English-speaking world. Not one single hymn to Our Lady. Oh, no. Oh, yes. The next time a Protestant asks you why you are, well, say the rosary. Why do you have so much devotion to Mary? Because I believe that Mary is the Mother of God. He may ask, or she may ask, the Mother of whom? The Mother of God. Invocation. this means to ask. The Blessed Virgin, to intercede. Two verbs should be understood clearly by every Catholic. Beyond the verb to invoke and the verb to intercede. We invoke Our Lady so she might intercede for us. Intercession. The word in Latin, inter, means between. Mary, between us and a divine Son, is our most powerful intercessor. No two people's prayers are equally pleasing to God. What's the difference? The difference is in the person's holiness. Holy people have their prayers answered. Unholy people, and they wonder, why aren't my prayers answered? You ask them a few questions. What they need is more virtue, more patience, more humility, more chastity. Now, the holiest human person who ever lived was Mary. And consequently, invoking her is the most powerful means of obtaining from her divine Son what she, being the holiest, I repeat, not just human person, but the holiest created person. Christ is man, was, or question, was Jesus a human or a divine person? Thanks. Make sure I'm talking to Catholics. Jesus was a divine person. Mary was a human person. The only created person, whether human or angelic, was a Blessed Virgin Mary. And that is why, and not coincidentally, remember, please don't forget, nothing ever happens in our lives. Nothing. Everything is part of God's providence. Everything. At Cana in Galilee, they ran out of wine. Was that a coincidence? No. It just happened. No. God made sure they'd run out of wine, whether they drank too much or didn't have enough wine to begin with. We don't know. They run out of wine. And Our Lady, with her feminine sensitivity, realized they run out of wine. Surely she told her son. And remember, he didn't say, "Oh, thanks, Mother. You want me to work a miracle, don't you?" No. He knew his mother. Oh, did he ever? So then remember what she told the servants. Do whatever he tells you. And that, by the way, hear it, is a formula for miracles in our life. Do you hear me? Do whatever Jesus tells you, and he will work miracles. I can prove it statistically. And the reason, of course, why Mary is so powerful and interceding with her Son is because she is the Mother of God and the holiest human person who ever lived. Finally, now notice the devotion to Our Lady pertains to all of us, and then he will concentrate on priests. This means imitation, to see become like Mary in the practice of the virtues that she practiced, her mortal stay on earth, and hear it. And please don't forget the two virtues, especially in Our Lady, that we are to imitate, are the virtues of faith and hope. They are, of course, to imitate her divine Son. The Imitation of Christ by Thomas a Kempis is a book that every Catholic should have and read. But there are two virtues that Christ did not possess. For the obvious reason, he didn't need them. Faith and hope. Mary had both faith and hope. No one has ever had the faith of Mary. When the angel appeared to her and told her she was chosen to be the mother of the Most High, unlike Zachary, remember, the father of John the Baptist, Mary did not question whether God would do it. She just wanted to know what her role would be. She had consecrated her virginity to God. So God worked one miracle of having an aged. The church's tradition places Elizabeth in her late 80s. We all the laws of physiology, way beyond childbearing years. And to make sure that nobody doubted this was a miracle, she was barren to begin with. A barren woman in her 80s conceived a child so that Mary, the Virgin Most Prudent, could, well, have an explanation on how she, though retaining her virginity, could conceive a child and give birth to a son. Faith. And the moment Mary told the angel, "Be it unto me according to your word," she believed. She believed at that moment that the second person of the Trinity took on his human nature, his flesh, from her. No mother's faith could be ever as tried as was Mary's. Talk about believing in the humanly impossible. And then hope. Our Lady had a deep trust in God, and therefore hoped to obtain everything which God had promised her. And her faith and her hope were tested. Tested up to and including Christ's expiration, his bleeding to death on the cross. She was to believe, and this this man bleeding to death, this is my God. That is why, and don't forget this, from the first century, that is why Saturday has always been specially dedicated to Our Lady. From childhood, from infancy, my mother and I never, and the Arabs never, ate meat on Saturday. Never. Pardon me, unless Christmas or another holy day of obligation fell on a Saturday. In honor of Our Lady, I'm not telling you what to do, I'm just telling you what I have been doing since childhood. Saturday is Our Lady's Day. Saturday is Faith Day. Because on that first Holy Saturday, between her son's crucifixion and death on Good Friday, and his rising on Easter Sunday, one person's faith remained firm. Along with that faith, her hope. That's why, as the Church tells us, for some 15 years after her son's ascension, Our Lady remained on earth until her assumption. The tradition tells us 15 years, because the apostles and the early Church needed to have their faith and hope strengthened. It was what happened to the followers of Christ after Pentecost Sunday. They were hounded, thrown in prison. Saint Stephen was only the first to be stoned to death. As I told the people last night in Canada, we are living in the Age of Martyrs. More Catholics have shed their blood and died for their faith since 1900, all the 1900 years before put together. And as I've said more than once, from my first Mass, celebrated 3 days after my ordination on June the 21st, 1947. Every Mass that I offer, when I raise the host and raise the chalice, I ask for the grace of martyrdom. And here I am. My gosh. 3:28. March, pardon me, I'm behind the times. May, is this May the 17th? Is it 1998? But I resigned myself to living a martyr's life. My friends, the main reason for these classes was to train you for martyrdom. I hope I'm clear. I know. 30 years in working with the Holy See, I know. Bishops who have apostatized. Priests. Have we lost most of the religious women in our country. If you are to have martyrs' blood in our veins, that is when Our Lady, although she never died a martyr's death, she surely lived a martyr's life. Now, why devotion to Our Lady is essential? Because Christ gave us His Mother. First of all, when He chose her at the Annunciation, born of her at Bethlehem, from all eternity, God chose one woman to be His mother. He lived with her for 30 years. And then, as a climax on Calvary, He told John, "Behold your mother." Now, the church has taught for 20 centuries. John represented all of us. And now, why devotion to the Blessed Virgin? Because the church has always taught that we go to Christ through Mary. And not only historically in the past, but historically in the present. That's why. And by the year 2000, at least by December the 31st, 2000 A.D., you will know whether I am foretelling the truth. I believe the Holy Father will declare Mary as universal mediatrix of grace in the Jubilee year 2000. And being on the commission for this definition, I am confident He will do it. In other words, we go to Jesus Christ through His mother. And funny experience shows that devotion to Mary is a measure of devotion to Christ. Before we leave this word devotion, let me explain a few words. The Latin verb to will is vele, V-double-L-E. To will is vele. That which is willed is votum. So what is devotion? Devotion is giving one's will. And in Mary's case, giving our wills to her divine Son as she gave hers to Jesus Christ. Oh, as I've said so often, how de-Catholicized is the English language, and that's an understatement. A more correct statement would be how paganized has the English language become. Devotion, devotee. Oh, you know, she's a devout person, which is a synonym for a pious kook. Devotion is with the will. And we only are devoted to Our Lady as you know, is devoted to the will of God, as was the Blessed Virgin. And the most important statement that Mary ever made, of which we have record, is what she said at the Annunciation, "Be it done to me according to your word." Oh, how we sing God's praises when He does things for me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But when God does things to me, be it done to me. And that is the key, as I've said so often, that's the key to authentic, honest to God love. Either you suffer with, for, and like, and from the one you love, or you don't really love. Am I clear? Oh, how blasphemed that verb love has become. Now we turn to the priest and we ask, how should a priest practice devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary? I thought I should tell you this. The outline you've got, outline I've used over the years in giving retreats to priests. Of course, I have many charts like this for priests. Just one. One that I use when I speak to priests. As I did, I told you, Friday evening. A place called Kitchener, Ontario. It's not as warm as Detroit. First, in general, as part of his ordination to the priesthood of Jesus Christ, or better, that, the lady who generously deciphered my writing, that means priesthood of Jesus Christ. A priest's devotion to the Blessed Virgin should have certain distinctively priestly features on each of the three levels of Marian devotion. In other words, his devotion should be Marian as veneration, as invocation, and as imitation. First, before I go any further, having taught my own Jesuits their theology for 25 years, having guided and taught priests to my 50 years of the priesthood, a priest's devotion to the Blessed Virgin is indispensable. Indispensable if he's going to preserve his priesthood. In other words, I've told priests, you've got no choice. Either you grow and cultivate your devotion to Our Lady, or you're in danger of abandoning your priesthood. I have 5 recommendations for priests, which I've shared by now, the Lord knows, several thousand priests. Read about the Blessed Virgin Mary. I won't ask you how many of you people have even one book on Our Lady at home. Good. The more the better. I did tell you, didn't I? I asked the sisters called the Sisters of Our Lady of Providence, do you want a residence for retarded women here, I think, outside of Detroit? Well, at their provincial residence, their American headquarters in Chicago, I asked them, teaching them class, how many books in Our Lady do they have in the library? They counted 54. Then, a week later, I was giving a lecture, I was living in New York then, to the missionaries of charity. I made the mistake, I asked them, how many books in Our Lady do you have in your library? I made the mistake of telling them, well, the other community had 54 books. Oh, wise women, Father, He will tell you next week. By next week, they came up with 62 books. Read about the Blessed Virgin Mary. St. Alphonsus Liguori's book, The Glories of Mary, is a must. St. Louis de Montfort's writings, not extensive, but on Our Lady. Books on the shrines of Our Lady, Fatima, Guadalupe, and Lourdes. Well, the popes have written about the Blessed Virgin, and no one has written more than Pope John Paul II. Think about Mary. Have her on your mind. Meditate on Our Lady. And, well, there are 10 parts to the Hail Mary. The verse 7 are reflections. The acts of veneration. The last 3 are petitions. Hail Mary. And over the years, I've spent hours meditating on those 2 words. Hail Mary, full of grace. Any New Testament you have, which in the Gospel of St. Luke does not have the angel addressing Our Lady, remember? How did the angel address Our Lady? Oh. Hail. What are some substitutes?
Highly
favored. And bright, shiny imprimaturs. May God have mercy on the authors and the bishops. You don't work for 30 years for the Holy See without beginning to use some strong language. The Lord is with thee. As with no other human person in history. Blessed art thou among women. Remember, to be blessed is to be made happy by God. We all want to be happy, but what a difference. What a world of difference. All the difference between heaven and earth. Made happy by God and happy by, well, other human beings. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Then, Holy Mary, Mother of God, and then the petitions, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Three petitions. Pray for us sinners, now, right now. And the closing petition is a plea for the grace of a happy death. Talk about Mary. Become a promoter of Marian devotion. When I spoke in Canada over this weekend, it was a Marian Center organized by the Croatian people in Canada. And the Croatian people have suffered intensely. Hundreds of thousands of martyrs in this century in little Croatia alone. Now his invocation, promote Marian pictures, statues, symbols. Remember, these are my directives to priests. What is one once Catholic church after another doing? Removing statues and images of Our Lady and the saints. I was just so thrilled when my good friend Cardinal George told his fellow bishops, remember, last fall, the foundations of the United States are Protestant. He told his fellow bishops, let's wake up. And I just hope there was an eraser here, but no chalk. Well, it's a nice board. Anybody got a piece of chalk?
All crayons,
Bob. Are there crayons? Our Lady won't mind this.
I'm sorry, Father. we'll run upstairs.
Yeah. In the meantime, we'll continue. I'll put what I'm going to put on the board when we get the chalk. Now, invocation. Remember, I am speaking to priests, through you two priests. There is no more important apostolate for you believing, devoted lay Catholics, than to promote devotion to Our Lady among priests. We need miracles. Our Lady is able to obtain these miracles from her divine Son. Then, and this is what I've been telling priests over the years, say the rosary daily, at least 5 decades, if not all 15. See other prayers, say the Angelus,